Come on, put your foot on the floor.
Lord, I wanna be able Well, bless every one of you. You know it's time to be happy. I'm Roger Gornsby, and this is Prophecy Alive. I'm going to be sharing with you how God takes the small. Yes, he'll take small things, and he'll make something so big. You know, Psalms 119, verse 89 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations." Psalms 119 declares, God's word is eternal. Eternal. That means regardless of how it looks in your life, regardless of what you're going through, I promise you this. His word stands firm. What has God promised you? What did God tell you? Some of you remember dreams that you had when you were of a younger age. You remember things that God inspired you to do. Have you let your dreams die? You know, a lot of people allow people to cause their dreams and their aspirations and things that inspire them, things that you know God has put in your spirit. You must be careful. You can allow those things to die. You can allow the enemy to destroy that seed that God has put in you. You know, I was reading today about Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph is, as you know, and you that read the word, and even if you don't know, listen to this. He had 12 brothers. He was one of the youngest, and he was poor, and he was full-blooded, and he had already lost a mother, Rachel, and now his half-brothers hated him because he was his father's, Jacob's, favorite. Do you have that position in your family where you are, it seems as though you are the parent, or whatever you are dealing with, a father or mother, or even grandparent, you seem to be favored. Excuse me. And sometimes that favor can be in the spirit realm. And I want you to know that God has favored you. Do you feel that you've been favored? Do you feel that there are some things about your life that you've been favored? Joseph, he interpreted dreams. He received the favor of God. And God chose Joseph to do great things. I believe that there are people that have been chosen to do great things from birth. And don't you ever allow the enemy. You see, the enemy, what he does, he does the same thing over and over because he can catch people. You know, people that lie, they know you got to repeat the lie and keep repeating it and keep saying it. After a while, somebody's going to believe it. Somebody's going to say, hey, maybe this is real. You know, if you stood outside and looked up in the sky and you stayed there and you say, hey, I see something, and you just keep saying, I see something, keep looking up. After a while, you're going to have a crowd. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a crowd. All you got to do is point up. You keep pointing up, it's going to cause other people to point up. Well, that's the way the enemy uses lies. You know, the enemy, that me part that's in us, if we don't allow the presence of God to be in our life, the enemy can be this close to us until it's using our very thoughts. That's why the word declares keep our minds on spiritual things. Keep your affection on things above, not on things on earth, because even nowadays, the pandemic has caused a rise of fear. It has caused a rise of anxiety. It has caused a rise of the spirit of I just don't know. The enemy is capitalizing on fear. What is it that you are afraid of? Think about it. What is it that seems to grip you and seems to grip your mind and you feel like, listen, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that this, that, listen, somebody said the other day to me, I think this is the end of the world. I said, do you know how long the world has been here? Do you know how long earth has been here? Heaven and earth shall pass away, the song says, but God's word will stand forever. I don't believe that man is capable of destroying what God created. Let me say that again. I do not believe that man is capable of destroying what God created. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, okay, those that would yield to him. But man does not have that power to destroy what God has created. And what the enemy does, he's using fear. He's using so much fear that people are afraid of everything. You go to the store, you watch people, they may look at you funny. They may ignore those people. Some people, listen, you may not believe this. Some people just get off on drama. You may have it in your own family. Some people just, their life is so full of drama. Stay away from those types of people, because I'm telling you something. If you allow yourself to be infected by others' emotions, and you allow yourself to become spiritually pregnant with others' fear. Some people can allow themselves to be spiritually pregnant with other people's forgiveness. You know, I talked to a person today, and they had an issue with unforgiveness. And I listened to them as long as I could listen to them. And I said, can I inject something? Can I say something? They said, yes. Forgive the unforgiveness of this person that you just worry so much about them forgiving you. How many people have sinned in the body of Christ, and people are holding their sins against them? They're holding it up. They're sending subliminal messages. Messages in the spirit realm that I'm going to forever see you in the capacity of that particular sin. And what's strange about it, some of these people were in the same sin with the person that they're holding the very sin that they both committed together, but somehow they did a escape, and they're yet judging the same sin that they participated in, and they're holding that person captive. Oh, all you got to do is hear what I'm saying. I decree you are free from that spirit of guilt. You are free from that spirit that seems to bind you and wants you to forever be captive by that particular sin. Don't you do that. You raise your head high. You lift your spirit high, and you say to yourself, I am free. And not only I'm free, but I'm free indeed. Say it again. I'm free. Not only I'm free indeed. I have a deed to my freedom. I have a sure a promise of God of that particular sin. You know how many people spend years of moping over something, of mistakes that they made, and people will hold you in a wilderness of mistakes for 40 years. The religion will hold you in a spirit of unforgiveness for 40 years if you allow it to. Listen, it's your time to be happy. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing. With you, I wouldn't even have to.
cover me.
You cover me.
I appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to see like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good for a way.
Let me tell you what he does.
He saves the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah. Real superhero.
No,
I love like this. And I promise you.
All I wanna do is make you proud of me.
That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I thirst all over.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
You.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
That's right.
I don't wanna love nobody.
And the church saying, come on.
Loving you will be.
Jesus loving you
will be the death of me.
It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Let me tell you what it means.
More less of me.
That's why.
I don't want to love nobody but you. But you.
Father,
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saved the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, but
he
That was Kirk Franklin. Listen, nobody can do what God can do. I was saying before we took a break that how God can take small things, abundance. What's small in your life? Look at yourself. What part of your life that you think is so small that God can't take that thing and he can make something big out of it? You know, I was reading today in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elisha the Tishbite, and he was of the inhabitants of Gilead. And he said to Ahab, this is verse 1 of 1 Kings 17, and he said to Ahab, listen to this, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He said, according to my word. What a relationship that he had with God that he could say according to his word. Do you know God want us to have that type of relationship until we can say according to my word? I want you to get this now. God wants us to have that type of relationship until we can say according to his word. Do you understand? God wants us to have that type of faith until we can say to everything that's small, everything that looks small, according to my word. Do you not know that even as this person who was just a man was able to say, listen, he was speaking to a king. He said, listen, Ahab, before the God I stand, he said, according to my word. In verse 2, Kings 17, look at verse 2 with me. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook of Cherith. Watch this. That is before Jordan. And it shall come to pass. He said, it shall be that you will drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you. Here was a man that was in a type of famine. And God caused the fowls of the air to feed him. I want to say something. There is a supernatural thing that's coming, and it's going to be a prosperity that you've never seen before. It's not going to come by some preacher saying, send me some money. It's not going to come by somebody's giving you a word of the Lord and feel like you owe them. There's some people like that. They get used by God and then they feel like you owe them. Yes, the laborer is worthy of their hire. But see, if you're called of God, he hired you. And if he hired you, he's going to pay you. Listen, to some people that was a rebuke on purpose, and to others, may you be exhorted and grow. Listen and grow by what I've just said to you. I give God the glory. But listen, here's this man saying, according to my word, this is going to happen. What kind of relationship did this man, Elijah, had with God until he could say, listen, at my word, this is going to happen. At my word, this is not going to happen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you have that type of relationship with God, the enemy looks at you as a threat. If you don't want to be a threat to the enemy, then you're in the wrong business. Because the time has come when there will be supernatural provision. Now listen, you're about to hear in the coming days, that there's some overnight successes. There's some overnight prosperity. There's some overnight promotions. Mm-hmm. There's some overnight things that's going to take place with people that are chosen to do great things. To them that know their God will do exploit. No. In the book of Genesis, it says Adam knew Eve. Genesis 4, he knew Eve and they conceived. So how did he know her? They were intimate. That are intimate with God, they would do great things. It's no time to be sad. Yes, there are things that are happening that can make you sad. Yes, there are things that are taking place that can make you feel troubled. But I want you to know, to those that have experienced those things, I speak healing to you now. I will say that it is yet time, watch this, to rejoice. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you said, what? How can I rejoice in this? Listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You notice the word didn't say your joy is your strength. Your happiness is your strength. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not. See, the joy of the Lord means it's deeper than being happy. It's deeper than having a praise report that makes everybody shout. You understand? It's deeper than that. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 is a powerful verse. Listen, let this encourage you. Listen, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah said, he said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, isn't that something? He said, listen, don't be grieved because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, you got to hear this. There was a reason why this man said what he said. Nehemiah 8 chapter, listen to verse 1. The people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They came before the water gate, and Ezra, the teacher of the word, they brought the book of the law of Moses. And this is what happened in verse 2. in the NIV, it says, so on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all the children and all that were able to understand. Listen to what he did. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Can you imagine reading something that long from morning to noon? And he faced the square before the water gate. They were before the water gate. You know, whenever God's getting ready to do something great, water is always involved. You know, water is always there. So in the presence of the men, women, and the children who could understand, and all the people, they were listening to the word and from the book of Moses. And watch this. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform. He stood on a platform, listen to this, that was built for this particular occasion. You know, you see them wooden in pulpits. He did something like that. And besides him on his right stood several people. And now watch this. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people stood up. They stood up. You know, people used to do that. You know, they stood up as the word of God was read. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted up their hands and responded, amen, amen. They said it twice. Amen means it is so. So they said, amen, amen, twice. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Look at this. Look at this. And Nehemiah said, in verse 9, it says, and Nehemiah, the governor, he was the governor, Ezra, the priest, teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn, don't weep, because all the people began to weep. He said, for all the people had been weeping, and they listened to the word of the law. And as Ezra brought the word of God, can you imagine the intensity of that needs to return? As the word of God was read, they began to weep. Then Nehemiah said in verse 10, go and rejoice, eat you some food. And he said, send to the people that have nothing prepared. He said, for this day is holy to the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, that type of joy is deeper than being happy. That type of joy is beyond a dance or a church service. That type of joy, when the music stops, is still there. It's a joy that gives strength. You know, you can get exhausted with human happiness, human rejoicing. But when you have the same joy that God has, let me say it again, y'all. When you have, God give us this. When we have the same joy that God has, what can happen? Strength. Strength. Imagine that. Imagine you being happy like God. Imagine that joy of the Lord is your strength. Imagine that when the enemy comes in like a flood. The enemy is not the flood. The flood is the presence of God. When Pharaoh's army came after the people, the flood drowned them. Don't you know there's a flood that's going to drown the wicked? There's a flood that's going to drown your debt. There's a flood that can drown, and it shall drown your fears. That brings the joy of the Lord. You can be depressed and something to hit you, and that spirit will leave you. Have you ever been like that? You thought it was all over, and that spirit will leave you. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
We want you more than anything.
And I was reading this in Psalm 64. Go there with me. I want to show you something. As I was reading this, I saw something, and it's amazing how God's word just lifts your spirit. And if you're going through something and you're feeling down in your spirit, grab your word. Grab your word. I just read to you in Nehemiah how when the word of God was read, the people began to weep. Get that sense back in you. Isaiah 64, verse 1, listen to this. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down and the mountains might flow down at your presence. Verse 2, Isaiah 64, listen to this. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil to make your name known in thine adversary, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. This is a type of earthquake. And when the people saw this, they knew it had to be someone that was greater than themselves. Listen to this. In verse 3, Isaiah 64, listen, when you did terrible things, which we looked not for, you came down and the mountains flowed down at your presence. Listen to verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waited on him. Look how powerful this is. Here's the secret to waiting on God in this impatient world. Listen to the secret of waiting on God and what he'll do with our waiting. Verse 5 of Isaiah 64 says, you meet him or her or them that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, you are angry or wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. He said, even though we have sinned continually, we rejoice and we seek to work righteousness. Now, righteousness is not religious. It doesn't even mean do everything right. It means the righteousness of God. It means that you are sensitive to doing right. You know, some people don't want to do right. Some people actively practice doing wrong. Let me tell you something. And the enemy, he loves unforgiveness. I feel led to say this. So many times people hold on to unforgiveness, and unforgiveness can even make you sick. You ever hear people, they say, I went and had the doctors, I went through all types of tests, and I went through all kinds of things to find out what's wrong with me, and they can't find anything. Sometimes that's unforgiveness that's so deep inside. How do you know you forgave someone? First of all, if you claim to forgive someone and you still in agony over the incident and you still are angry over the incident and you meditate on what was done to you or what you perceive that was done to you. Because some people get unforgiveness about hearsay. They don't even know if the person said it or not. They just get angry. I heard somebody say this about me. So they get this spirit of unforgiveness. Some people get unforgiveness because their best friend got unforgiveness towards someone else. You'd be surprised how many people are sick and miserable because of unforgiveness. And forgiveness, that's why it's called forgiveness. Because when you forgive someone else, it's an automatic thing that returns to you. You forgive others simultaneously. At the same time you forgive someone, listen, you have forgiven yourself. Unforgiveness is a result of you holding your own self in that same spirit of unforgiveness. You're holding yourself in a prison and you got the key. You got the key, but you holding yourself in that prison because unforgiveness is a self-made prison. You put the cement there, you put the bars there, you are the construction worker building this cell to put yourself in, and it's keeping debt, fear, is keeping all the negative things around you. You know, one thing about the word says that we can condemn every tongue that rises up against us. We have that authority. And you know, it's sad, but you have to do that to even relatives, acquaintances, even some children. You have to forgive and condemn their negative words that they speak against you. Yes, some people got naive love. You can have kinfolk wishing evil on you. You have to condemn every tongue. That doesn't exclude anyone. Every tongue. That means your mama tongue, your daddy tongue, your children tongue. One scripture said the day will come, mothers against mothers and sons against fathers and fathers against sons. You understand? You have to forgive everybody. And yet you can condemn every negative word, every negative thought against you. You have to. It's not that you're angry. It's not an evil thing. It's just simply the verse says, it's your righteousness. It's your inheritance that you have the authority. You have to practice condemning. I condemn racism. I condemn racism of all races. I condemn every spirit of bigotry. You have to condemn those things. And you have to believe that when you condemn them, it has no authority over you. Stay with me. I'll be right back. I'm going to tell you what God just said to me. He said, use the fire.
Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I see an axe laid at the root of a tree. Oh, my God. God's about to cut some stuff down for you. Ooh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
All that bad blood, he's going to give a blood transfusion in your family tree. There's some new people coming on the scene in your life. You better hear it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
There's some new, there's a corporate company of people coming in your life. There's some women coming in your life, and some of them will be very young women. And I want you to begin to worship God. Get yourself somewhere quiet. This is a new day. Anything on your spirit you want to say to the nations or to me?
I had called you probably about two weeks ago, because you had spoke a word to me before, and it wouldn't leave my spirit, you know what I'm saying? Even, yeah. You know, you spoke something to me about a dawn, and somebody came, like a friend of mine, she said something to me shortly after that, you know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to, first, I just want to thank you, you know what I'm saying? And I know, like, I see some things that are going on. There are some struggles, but God is telling me to tell you to push, you know what I'm saying, because it's something that you're about to give birth to. And I see that there's some hurt, and there's some that walked away, but it's all right, you know what I'm saying, because God said he's making those crooked places straight. And I just feel like God is releasing fresh fire into you tonight, you know what I'm saying, and I just see He's restoring. I just hear God saying restitution, recovery, and those things that was hidden. God said he's going to reveal those things to you. Ooh. And I don't know why, but I see some kind of building. God, I just thank you for what you're doing, oh God. And God, I hear you saying a turnaround, oh God. And God, yes. You said that you're releasing new strength into him, Father. Mm-hmm. New revelation, oh God. I thank you for what you're doing, oh God. A refreshing, even for him tonight, God. Fresh fire, Father, in the name of Jesus, God.
Yes.
And Lord, God,
yes.
All slander, I tear it down now in the name of Jesus, God.
Yes.
Father, I destroy everything that's not like you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Yes. And Father God, everything that has tried to penetrate his life that's not of you, oh God, I dismantle it now in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, I thank you tonight, God. Thank you, Father, for the apostolic authority, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, I hear you saying establishment, God. Thank you for the establishment, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And Father, you said many mysteries that you're going to show him, oh God. And Father, I thank you for the missing puzzle pieces, oh God, being revealed in the name of Jesus. Jesus. God, I just thank you, Father. I thank you, oh God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing, oh God. God, you said the mountain is removed. So I thank you, and I honor, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Woman of God, I am holding in my hand, as you prophesy, woman of God, a book called Fresh Fire. There's no way you could know this. And I know the voice of God. And I was telling my Queen Katrina what I'm expecting for the souls and the nations. I not only prophesy, I listen to others. I thank you.
I've got a seed in the ground that is blessing, no more stressing.
I was reading this, and let this bless your spirit. Let this bless your heart. Isaiah chapter 54, listen to this. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing. Cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Verse 2, Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. This is enlargement. He's enlarging the territory. Listen to this. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husbandman. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall be called. Look at this, verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. Watch this. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. For a small moment, my people, it seems like God has forsaken you. Do you feel like that? It seems like a long time, but it's a small moment. He said, for a small moment, this is Isaiah 54 and verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with the great mercies will I gather thee. I prophesy great mercies to you, woman, to you, father, to you, young lady, young man. Great mercies to every family, great mercies. Someone, if you're going through a sickness, if you're going through, it seems like the doctor then gave you a doom. But I speak resurrection to you. I speak resurrection to your life, to your body, to every part of your being. I decree God will enlarge his mercy, the mercies of the Lord, the true mercies of David. Have mercy. The scripture says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I pray mercy even over my enemies. Mercy. I speak and decree mercy. Yes, I speak mercy over my enemies. I speak mercy over people who have an ought against me. Follow me. Say that for yourself. I speak mercy over every debt, every fear. I speak mercy over everyone that seems to want to block what God is doing in my life. Mercy. In every area that you forgive and you speak mercy to others, mercy shall come to you a hundredfold. I receive the hundredfold of mercy. The hundredfold of mercy. I decree mercy. Just cry mercy. Mercy in the physical. Mercy. I decree financial mercy. Say it. Financial mercy in the name of Jesus. Now watch this. Verse 8 of Isaiah 54 says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. It was just a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Seemed like a long time, but it was just a little bit. Have you ever went through something and then when you got blessed, you said, really, when you think about it, it wasn't that long that I had to deal with this. Some of you believe in God, not only for tangible and monetary things, you believe in God in the spirit realm. You believe in God for a closer walk, a closer intimacy, a restored prayer life, a restored family life. Watch this, verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall, listen to this. I need to read that again. Listen to this promise. Verse 9, for this is the waters of Noah. Remember what happened with Noah. Unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. He said, nor rebuke thee. I'm not going to be mad anymore. Do you feel like God is angry with you? He's not. He's not. Verse 10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. You don't even have to pray that it be removed. God said, I'm going to remove it. Some of y'all praying for stuff and God saying, I've already removed it. Some of y'all praying that God remove mountains. Some of y'all praying that God remove debt. And he's saying this day, I've already forgiven you of that debt. I've already moved that mountain out of your way. Some of you are praying against a mirage. You may think you're broke. You're not broke. In the spirit realm, we are always rich. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. God, give us discernment to know our wealth. Give us discernment to know your provision. Listen to this. He said the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart. Do you hear that? God said, I'm going to be kind to you in unkind situations. I'm going to be kind to you. So many times we want others to like us and to be kind to us. Listen, it doesn't matter who likes us. Long as God likes us and loves us and is kind towards us, his loving kindness, he draws us. That's all we need, his love and kindness. Watch this. It says this, neither shall my covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Verse 11, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay stones with fair colors and lay the foundation. Watch this. I will lay the foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of gates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. He said, I'm going to dress your deliverance up. I'm going to make your deliverance look good. when I get done fixing you up, you're not going to even know you. Have you met you yet? You're not going to even know you when God gets through with you. Listen to this. Verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness, watch this, shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Do you not know, I don't care what was going on in Goshen, when Moses got those people to Goshen, no one got sick. The cattle didn't get sick. No one died. All the hell was in Egypt. Do you know that's where hell belongs? Where bondage is. I'm going to say it. All the hell was in Egypt. Come out of Egypt. Come out of there. Get out of bondage. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Get out of Egypt. What is Egypt? Is where he gyps you. Is where Satan tricks you and makes bondage look glamorous. But it's not. Watch this. Verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Whoever come against you, they're going to fall supernaturally. Verse 16, behold, I have created the smith and that bloweth, the coals and the fire that bringeth forth, an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. The waster is going to destroy those that seek to destroy you. We don't have to live in fear. Fear is not kin to us that believe God. Watch this. I love this. Watch verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rises, that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. People will pronounce judgment, but God said you have the authority to condemn. Practice that. You don't get upset with people. You don't desire hurt on people. You know, you don't pray evil on people. You just have that authority to condemn. Use your authority with the love of God. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Self-proclaim they're the gold. History provides that my God's the one. No losses, he's won the most. Undefeated champion, defeated on your throne.
I want you to know that God is able to do everything but fail. Stand fast. Get excited about your future that is now. Get excited about what God is doing in your life. Listen, let me tell you something. There's gifts and witty inventions that God has given you, that has put in you. Don't be afraid to be you. Don't be afraid to be the you that God has birthed in you. There's so much to you that you have not discovered. Be you. You know what the thing about it? When you be you, that's the first step to be beautiful. When you be you, you're beautiful. That's the beauty of what God has put in every person. Don't be afraid to be you, because when you be you, you'll be beautiful. That's a word. Snatch it. It's your time to be beautiful, male and female. It's your time to be beautiful in your spirit. It's your time to be beautiful in your heart. It's time for you to have beautiful money, beautiful. Prophesy it to you right now. Beautiful awareness, beautiful protection. It's your time. It's your time. It's say, I believe it. I dare y'all. Just say, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it, Roderick. Roderick, I believe what you are saying is for me. I believe it. Marvin Sapp, this song, Undefeated. Say it. I am undefeated because who I have with me is the God of Israel, the God of the earth. That's how David went to Goliath. He knew that he was undefeated. He knew it. He knew it. He wasn't afraid. He knew it. He wasn't afraid of that giant. What giant is in your life? Don't be afraid of that giant, because you're greater than that giant. I don't care what the giant is. I don't care if the giant is in your physical body, in your mental self, in your emotional self. You are greater than any giant. No bad report. A good report. Whose report are you going to believe? Report of the Lord. Blessings to you. This is Roderick. Until next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we're coming again. Be blessed.